This is Kindergarten Cop, and I will be reading from the News Gazette for Thursday, February 19th, 2026. I will begin today by reading an article about the Champaign Park District entitled Pulling Up Stakes, Plan Proposes Relocating Most of Prairie Farm to Southwest Champaign's Zond Park by Jana Wiersma. The Champaign Park District is looking into the possibility of relocating Prairie Farm, currently located in Centennial Park, to a site on the southwest side of town. Framework Planning and Design, an Indiana-based firm that is leading a master plan process for Prairie Farm, has drafted a concept plan for relocating the facility to a 4-acre parcel owned by the district at the southeast corner of Windsor and Staley Roads near Zond Park. Essentially, on the Zond side, it's a build-up, and on the Centennial Park side, it's almost like an unbuild or an opening up of the space in a way that makes it more accessible to the community than it already is, said Champaign Executive Director Sarah Sandquist. She explained that the firm's concept would shift the animals and heavy activity to the new site, with the existing location transitioning into, quote, more of a passive opportunity. Ideas also include removing fencing at the Centennial Park site so it's more open all the time, and renovating the farmhouse there so that it can be used for programming, she added. The idea was previously presented in October, and there was positive feedback, Sandquist said. Framework addressed the board again on February 11th with more details in response to questions that had been raised at the earlier session. The updated presentation included cost estimates for various phases, which were as follows. Phase 1 at the Zond parcel is estimated to cost $840,000 and include animal facilities and enclosures, as well as temporary parking. Phase 2 at the Zond parcel is estimated to cost $2.26 million and would include facilities and amenities aimed at increasing revenue, including a renovation of existing barns at the site. Phase 3 at the Zond parcel is estimated to cost $3.96 million and would feature components such as a parking lot, a demonstration farm, a play area, additional animal facilities, and a pavilion. Phase 3B at the existing site is estimated to cost $1.5 million and would include play areas, demonstration gardens, a native plant nursery, a loop trail, and expanded parking if needed. The total cost across all phases is estimated at $8.81 million. The firm also recommended adding a Prairie Farm manager position as part of Phase 1, an event coordinator in Phase 2, and a program manager in Phase 3. Their goal was that Phase 1 would be really focused on keeping in line with the mission of Prairie Farm, Sandquist said. A relatively low investment up front to activate the space and to do some site modifications to have programming there and just to move the animals over there in the near future. Phase 2, on the other hand, would focus on ways to generate revenue, while Phase 3 would be about sustaining the site's longevity and refining the site, she said. The latter phase would also include seeking assistance from corporate sponsors or other partners. I think the intent that the consultants had with their phased plan is that they feel like we could implement something soon and then plan for subsequent phases, and we would still have a really strong product even if we just did Phase 1 soon and plan to do the Phase 2, Phase 3 further down the road, Sandquist said, adding that the board has not taken any action on this concept. The Prairie Farm Master Plan is expected to be completed this spring. Sandquist noted that several other studies are expected to wrap up around this same time, and the board is interested in taking all of that information and having discussions about what a 10-year plan looks like for the park district. Prairie Farm is currently closed and slated to reopen in 2 months, with the 2026 season running from April 18 to October 18. In the past, the farm has closed in August, but the Park District decided to extend operations to October in 2025. We had animals on site, and we were open to the afternoons and on the weekends, and we had pretty good attendance, Sandquist said, adding that the facility saw record attendance at its Winter Nights event during the holiday season. This article also includes a photo of a man holding a young child who is petting a donkey, and says a young visitor meets one of the inhabitants of Champaign's Prairie Farm during the facility's 2025 Winter Nights festivities, courtesy of the Champaign Park District. Now I'll read an article about Smith Burger Company. Growing Enterprise Unveils Its Plan for a Mahomet Branch, by Jana Wiersma. Mahomet, a popular burger joint that is being featured by America's Best Restaurants, has more good news to share. Smith Burger Company announced on social media Wednesday that it is opening a new location in downtown Mahomet at 401 East Main Street, formerly the home of Chop House on Main. The restaurant is targeting a spring opening. "We're thrilled to be joining the Mahomet community and can't wait to serve you," the business shared. "We hope you'll come out, support us, and make Smith Burger Company your new go-to spot." The burger joint currently has two locations, one each in Champaign and Urbana, as well as the food truck. Owner Drew Smith said that the new location is an expansion. Chop House on Main closed its Mahomet location in March 2025 and later announced that it would be moving into 2 East Main Street in Champaign. Kevin Hildebrand, Chief Operating Officer of CRS Hospitality, said in a previous interview that the plan was to open Chop House in the spring. And this article includes a picture with the caption that reads, "Smith Burger Company has announced plans to open a new location at the former Chop House on Main Street in Mahomet." From the Our Communities section, this is an article on DREAM. The HOPE program sees measurable progress in gun violence prevention, by Luke Taylor in Urbana. In one area where DREAM's HOPE program focuses its work, gun incidents have reduced in number significantly, even just in the first 165 days since the program's efforts began. Between September 1, 2024 and February 15, 2025, there were 7 gun-related incidents in the Aspen Court area. And between February 15, 2025 and August 1, 2025, 6 gun-related incidents were reported. From September 1, 2025 through February 15, 2026, there were only 2. That's the kind of measurable success that Kathy Garrison, Assistant Director of Healing, Outreach, Prevention, Education, says the team is after. "Our street outreach team is a really important and vital part of our program. They're kind of the boots on the ground. They're the people in the community," Garrison said. "They have a presence in high-risk areas, building relationships with the community at large, but specifically really targeting those people who are involved in activity that leads to gun violence. That team specifically gets hands-on with efforts to dissuade gun violence before it can occur by staying tuned in to potential dangerous situations, responding and helping to mediate and de-escalate. That's only one of the many ways HOPE is involved in the Champaign-Urbana community. HOPE is a program of Driven to Reach Excellence and Academic Achievement for Males, which Garrison said helps it get a direct connection with the community. If a shooting has already occurred and the HOPE team is notified that their assistance might be useful, victim services team members will show up at the hospital to provide emotional support, create safety plans, and help find any needed funding or resources. HOPE also includes a case management team, which works directly with individuals who have active street involvement, justice system involvement, are victims of gun violence, or have been directly impacted by gun violence. Because we are a part of DREAM, we have some of those services in-house that we are able to provide and serve our families and participants that may as well, Garrison said. The program has an ongoing partnership with the Urbana Police Department, which provides data and statistics, as well as immediate shooting notifications. Garrison said all of that information helps the team identify areas and neighborhoods where they can help. The program started in March of 2025 and just through the end of that year served 40 individual participants, 28 of whom were considered high risk. This January, 6 more participants joined HOPE. Most of the time, those participants come to us through our outreach team. They get to know these guys, let them know what kind of supports and services that we can provide, so they come that way, Garrison said. She said the Urbana Police have been very supportive of the program and that HOPE is currently working to bring in some other community partners, though all of these partnerships are still in the process of being made. Garrison said that just in 2025, the program had 14 discharges. That means 14 participants met the goals they created with the case management team. We now have community members that live here that will reach out and say, "Hey, we need you over here to help de-escalate or mediate," Garrison said. That, to me, has been a really encouraging sign that our team is being well received, that they're making a difference, and they're really able to help. News from Heritage School District. Board selects 2 new principals by Luke Taylor. Broadlands. The Heritage Community Unit School District Board of Education selected 2 new principals for the district Tuesday night, both set to step into their new positions on July 1st. Both are also coming to Heritage from the Danville School District as Heritage Superintendent, as Heritage from the Danville School District, as did Heritage Superintendent Kimberly Norton. Kristen Shanks will be stepping into the role of principal at Heritage Elementary Junior High, while Michael Gorley will take over the same spot at Heritage High School. Shanks is a graduate of Eastern Illinois University, where she received a bachelor's degree in social science and a master's in educational administration. She spent 8 years teaching social studies, including government, and served as a State of Illinois Civics Mentor for 2 years. She also coached both track and cheerleading. 10 years ago, Shanks transitioned into administration. She is currently serving at the elementary level. Gorley is a graduate of Southern Illinois University in Carbondale and began his career teaching history and social studies in Normal. Later, he earned a degree in Educational Administration and Foundations from Illinois State University and became an assistant principal. He served as an associate principal in Urbana and principal in both Morton and Morris during his career. Most recently, Gorley worked as an associate principal in Danville. Both Shanks and Gorley will attend a parent and student university event at Heritage Elementary Junior High on March 3rd to meet families in the district. From Opinions by Jim Day. This is titled Ballot Controversy All Solved. The great Tad-Ted controversy that enveloped the office of Champaign County Clerk Aaron Ammons ended Wednesday with a whimper, not a bang. "It's all solved," said Champaign County State Attorney Julia Reitz. The dispute involved the misspelling of the name of Republican gubernatorial candidate Ted Dabrowski on Champaign County ballots. Ammons's office spelled Dabrowski's first name as T-A-D, not T-E-D. Dabrowski's office filed a lawsuit this week after failing to reach a settlement on the issue with Ammons. The campaign, among other things, sought new ballots, something Ammons declined to do. The Democratic clerk offered other concessions to correct the mistake, but the Dabrowski campaign considered them insufficient. In the end, the Dabrowski campaign got new ballots, but not through a new printing. Reitz said election vendors were able to use technical means to get the job done because the correction involved replacing only a single letter A with an E. As of tomorrow, the ballot will read Ted Dabrowski, said Reitz. She said the agreement was ratified in a judicial hearing before Circuit Judge Jason Bohm. In addition to the ballot correction, opposing sides agreed that any early vote ballots cast for Tad Dabrowski will be tallied as votes for Ted Dabrowski. She said there is a status hearing scheduled for March 2nd to determine if any other interested parties, rival GOP campaigns, have a legal interest in the matter. The dispute was a milestone of sorts for Champaign County political controversies. It was resolved in record time to the satisfaction of all concerned. Illinois' primary election will be held on March 17th. Between now and then, some voters are casting early ballots. The Dabrowski lawsuit estimated that approximately 200 in-person early ballots were cast, while 4,000 to 5,000 flawed ballots were mailed. The Dabrowski campaign was agitated by the error and sought corrective action because it said the misspelling, quote, diminishes respect for his campaign and could cause confusion among voters. From the Our Communities section, this is an article titled Striving to Make a Difference. This is Teacher of the Week, Rebecca Purcell Givens, 8th grade ELA and AVID at Edison Middle School in Champaign. When Rebecca Purcell Givens decided against becoming a lawyer, members of her family told her they thought her career would be well spent in the classroom. So the Saybrook native decided to become a teacher, which took her to the Blue Ridge, Danville, and Gibson City Melvin Sibley school districts before landing at Edison Middle School in Champaign last August, where she teaches English, language arts, and AVID to 8th graders. I find my work important because every day as a teacher, students come into the classroom with different challenges. This could be anything from them struggling with homework or even something going on at home. If I can just make a difference in one student's life each day, then I know that I am doing my job, and that is all that matters. Kids today face so many different challenges than we had to face 20 years ago, and if I can help them manage and process those challenges in a way that benefits them to be successful members of our community in the future, then that is a win in my book every day. I became a teacher because I have always had a desire to make an impact on the world. This is why when I was younger, I originally wanted to either be a politician or a lawyer, because I knew that somehow I wanted to make the world a better place. I realized that would be a very difficult thing to achieve through that route, and when I went to law school, I realized it was not a good fit for me. It was at this moment that my family told me how they always thought that I would be a good teacher, and I decided to pursue that career path. My favorite or most unique lesson that I teach is, my passion lies with history. So honestly, anything history related is my favorite thing to teach. I have done activities like creating your own continent, making your own medieval shield, creating a Greek god or goddess Instagram page. The most impactful lesson that I have ever taught, though, came through teaching the Holocaust and having an actual Holocaust survivor come and speak with our students. I like to believe that creating a core memory for students to remember something that they did in my classroom is the ultimate goal for me. My most fulfilling moments on the job are when students come to me and feel like I am a safe place and a safe person for them. I value building student relationships with and making a connection with the kids that makes my room a space that feels like they can go to at any point in the day. I keep students engaged by challenging them and pushing them to always put their best foot forward. Some lessons that we work on might be challenging, and the work might be overwhelming, but I always try to make sure that my kiddos feel like they are capable of doing any assignment that I give them. I strive to create a space where students are comfortable working with each other and engaging in productive classroom conversations. I also like to incorporate activities that students enjoy doing, such as Kahoots, Jeopardy games, and even something as simple as coloring. Something I'm passionate about is my kids. I am the mother of two beautiful children, Ashton and Ariel. Everything I do for them, and they are my entire world. During my free time, when I am not just being a mom, I enjoy watching the Chicago Bears, St. Louis Cardinals, and NASCAR. I also enjoy reading and playing video games. My favorite teacher and subject to study in school was, I have had many great teachers in my life, both in college and in my youth, from Professor Carol Symes and Professor Dana Rabin, both of the University of Illinois, to Dr. Varga Harris and Dr. Kyle Ciani, who inspired my love of history even more as I completed my MA in history at Illinois State University. However, the teacher who even to this day I would say had the biggest impact on me was Mrs. Pam Rathke of Ridgeview Junior Senior High School. She was our school's high school art teacher, and she pushed me to not only challenge myself, but to believe in myself every day. I was not the best artist, but she showed me the importance of believing in yourself, and that is something I push my students to do every single day. If I weren't a teacher, I would probably have tried to stick with becoming a lawyer, like I said earlier. I have always wanted to leave an impact on the world in some way, and helping others is something I have always been passionate about. By Anthony Zillis. This article also includes a picture of Rebecca Purcell Givens standing in front of a bookshelf in her classroom. This is her first year teaching ELA and AVID at Edison Middle School in Champaign after 8 years of teaching in the Blue Ridge, Gibson City, Melvin, Sibley, and Danville school districts. Next is an article from the Vermilion County First section. And it's titled, When is this year's A Taste of Deutschland German Dinner in Danville? Get those appetites ready for the annual dinner that will be from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Saturday at Emmanuel Lutheran Church, 1930 North Bowman Avenue. Joe Van Hovelen with the church says this is their 30th year for the dinner. We feature a German menu and a live German band, she said. There will be brats from the grill with potatoes, green beans, sauerkraut, pumpernickel bread, dessert, and a drink. Carry out will be available. Live German music will be provided by Keith Strauss and Polka Confetti. The cost is $20 for adults and $5 for children under age 12. The dinner and dancing are sponsored by the Emmanuel Lutheran Church Men's Club and Capital Fund. Organizers encourage the public to attend the dinner and have a good time. And this article includes pictures of the Emmanuel Lutheran Church on Bowman Avenue in Danville that is hosting this weekend's German dinner and band, and then a picture also of a sign that reads, A Taste of Deutschland German Dinner, Live German Band, February 21, 4 to 6:30 p.m. Continuing in Vermilion County News, this is an article titled, What was Sparklight's donation going to in Westville? Sparklight, a broadband communications provider, recently awarded $2,000 through a charitable giving fund grant to the Westville Backpack Program to help students facing food insecurity. The grant will help provide take-home food backpacks for elementary and high school students in need. During its recent grant cycle, Sparklight awarded more than $125,000 in grants to 25 nonprofit organizations across the cities and towns it serves, according to Sparklight. Good neighbors step up for each other, and the Westville Backpack Program is a great example of that spirit in action, said Travis Haar, Sparklight Senior Regional Director, North Central. Sparklight is proud to partner with them to help ensure students have access to the healthy food they need. Westville Backpack Program Vice President Mandy Alvarez also expressed appreciation for the grant. Sparklight's Charitable Giving Fund grant comes at a vital time, Alvarez said. With more families becoming at risk for food insecurity, Sparklight's grant will help us purchase food for weekend backpacks, ensuring students have nutritious meals outside of school hours. This support strengthens our capacity to fight hunger locally, reduce food insecurity for families, and help students return to school each Monday ready to learn. The company's Charitable Giving Fund focuses on initiatives that create lasting local impact, including education and digital literacy, hunger relief, and community development. Since the fund's inception in 2020, Sparklight has awarded more than $1.2 million in grants to more than 275 nonprofits that make a difference in the lives they serve. Nonprofit organizations may apply for a grant during open application periods each spring and fall. Applications for the spring 2026 cycle will be accepted April 1 through April 30th. And this article includes a photo of individuals holding a check, Sparklight's recent donation to the Westville Backpack Program. Now hear this, the latest from our Danville-based radio group news director, Steve Brandy. Danville Area Community College is celebrating 7 second-year radiologic technology students who recently attended a national educational conference hosted by the Association of Collegiate Educators in Radiologic Technology, ACERT. They joined 488 radiography students from across the country in a competitive student challenge designed to test their knowledge and clinical readiness. Shad Shiloh placed in the top 20 nationally, an outstanding achievement that reflects both individual commitment and the strength of DACC's radiologic technology program. The conference also provided advanced learning opportunities, including lectures presented by nationally recognized experts. These experiences enhance student understanding of imaging science and clinical practice, further preparing them for the American Registry of Radiologic Technologists ARRT National Certification Exam they will take following graduation in May. This national conference was an invaluable extension of classroom and clinical education, said Tammy Howard, Senior Director of Medical Imaging. Our students gained deeper insights, expanded their professional networks, and brought Jaguar pride to a national audience. We are incredibly proud of their hard work and achievement.